Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
There's a headline on Israel National News that says United States sanctions Iranian Russian entities for election interference. Now, I thought that this is an opportunity where we can talk about the word sanction. So if you're talking about sanction in the context of economics, it means that you are embargoing. It means that you are suspending, right? That is what those kind of sanctions, like trade sanctions, means an embargo. But if you're talking about it in a legal sense, we're talking about penalizing. So using the correct English terms for that, it would be United States penalizes Iranian and Russian entities for election interference. And because it is a legal sanction, we thought let's get hold of one of the top guys to talk about this, and that is John Day. He's a U.S. lawmaker. Firstly, happy 2025, John.
To you too. Actually, where I am, it's still 2024. I have two more hours.
So. Wow. Okay, is that why you look so dressed and, you know, you're ready?
Ready to go.
Ready to go, exactly.
Well, Happy New Year to you.
And thank you, and to you too. Okay, so John, do you think that any penalties, I mean, firstly, what penalties would the United States impose on Iran and Russia?
Right. Well, these are targeted sanctions against specifically the Revolutionary Guard Corps, a branch of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and the Russian, an affiliate of the Russian military intelligence entity. So do they have any teeth to them? Well, specifically what they're supposed to do is essentially block any transactions by any of the targeted people involved. Now, the question is, do any of these targeted people who are being sanctioned have any economic connections, economic ties to the U.S.? The answer is we don't really know. And is this more symbolic than anything else, sort of a last shot by the Biden administration before Trump takes over? But the practical effect is to block any financial transactions in the U.S. And to make sure and to require that these people report, or that entities that do business with them report that they're doing business to the U.S. government. And whether there's any teeth to that, it's really unclear.
What happens in a case where, like South Africa, right? So there's the AGOA between the United States and South Africa. That's an agreement that we've got. It's an economic agreement. But South Africa, they are allies, or we are allies, with Iran, with Russia, with a lot of countries that are not friends of the United States. What does that mean for us? Is it likely to have any impact?
That's a good question. It would have an impact if the targeted, you know, the Revolutionary Guard Corps or the Russian military intelligence affiliate, if the U.S. government can establish that, say, other businesses are doing business with them, other entities are doing business with them, the U.S. Treasury does have some far-reaching powers to investigate and block transactions within the reach of the U.S. of people who are doing business with sanctioned entities. The question is how much effort would be put into that. And is there, we haven't seen sort of a definitive list of what these entities are. We know that they're, you know, the Revolutionary Guard Corps affiliate is targeted and the Russian GRU or military intelligence affiliate is targeted. What we haven't seen is anything specific from the U.S. Treasury Department that says, and we know that these businesses in the U.S. are doing business with them. Whether or not the U.S. would reach far into other countries such as South Africa or a European country is unclear. We haven't seen any sign that that would happen. This is perhaps more symbolic than anything else.
Who's bringing this? Because, you know, I'm not sure that the winners of the whole case, in case I wasn't clear for my listeners, this case is being brought because of the 2024 U.S. election interference, or the alleged election interference. So what interference was there? And, you know, who's bringing the case? Is it something brought by the Democrats?
Right. Good question. It's actually being brought by the, you know, there's only a few weeks left of the Biden Democratic administration before Donald Trump takes over, but it is being imposed by the U.S. Treasury Department based on what they said was evidence that both the Revolutionary Guards of Iran and the Russian GRU or military intelligence were interfering in the 2024 election. And in particular, and this has come up before, in the summer, the Treasury Department said that they had found that the Iranians were supporting these a lot of the pro-Hamas demonstrations in the U.S., and then they shifted gears toward trying to influence the election through creation of things like social media accounts, social media productions, and in particular, the Russians were accused of making AI deepfake videos that were broadcast throughout the country prior to the election. So there's some very specific allegations about what the interference was leading up to the to Donald Trump's victory.
So interesting, because in 2020, when I was around then, I don't actually remember this, but when Donald Trump made the same claims of Russian interference in the elections, he was ridiculed.
Yeah, well, it's interesting how the times have maybe changed or evolved. And again, this is the last couple weeks of the Biden administration, and it does seem as if there were the Treasury Department was making one last effort to impose these sanctions. It's unclear, of course, what Trump would do. You know, of course, he's targeted Iran very specifically. His relations with Russia are a little bit more up in the air, a little bit more uncertain whether this will, the sort of activity by the government, once it changes over, will continue is unclear. But again, these were very specific instances that the U.S. government says they found of interference, and a lot of it was using AI and social media.
John, where are you based? Are you based in Washington?
I am not. I'm in the state of New Mexico, which is in the Rocky Mountains, the southwest.
How wonderful. That sounds
US.
Wonderful.
Yes, it's lovely.
Are you going to go to his inauguration?
I'm not going to the inauguration. I have to say, I did go to one presidential inauguration. It was 1968, and it was Richard Nixon, and I was about 6 years old, and I just remember it being one of the coldest things I've ever done in my life. But it was very, there was a lot of, you know, incredible pomp and circumstance, military parades and soldiers and sailors and speeches, and it's a very monumental thing to watch one of these presidential inaugurations. There's a lot that goes into it, and symbolically, this one means a lot to this country in a lot of different ways.
Absolutely. It's so interesting to watch what's happening in the United States. And on the other hand, there's crazy stuff happening, right, with the shootings, with pushing people onto train tracks, with setting people alive. What is going on?
There was a man in New York City pushed onto a train track today,
yes.
Caught on video. I mean, it's you're right. There's a lot of unsettled, scary stuff. But in the heartlands of the country, a lot of this is not happening. The attention is, of course, being focused on big cities. The rest of the country is not really experiencing those same sorts of things. So it's not universal here.
Yeah. Thank God. Thank God. Well, on that note, I wish you and your family a very, very sweet 2025. And thank you for being with us through 2024, John.
You too. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.